All right, welcome in. Latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Mike Breton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters, live from Destin. And there he is, everybody's favorite cousin, Cousin Shane. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
No, man, I think it's hotter than hell down here. About 20 degrees warmer than it was yesterday, or maybe the humidity's up. I don't know, but I've sweated through about 3 shirts just today.
Yeah.
And I'm sober because I was sneaking around the SEC meetings, unfortunately. How you doing?
Good, man. Good. Went out there to the course today. Got me a quick 18 in. I'm going to give a shout out.
Quick 18? How many hours did that take?
It took me about a little under 3 hours. I started out with a guy and a buddy of mine, and he can only do 9. So then I was flying solo. And when you're going by yourself, you can go pretty quick. You know what I'm saying? So I was able to do that, take a couple extra putts, you know, relaxed golf. So, but then the rain started coming in. I said, well, I got to quit messing around. I got to get in here and pod. And I know, Mike, you've been having some fun down there. You mentioned you were hot. You know who was hot yesterday?
Who's that?
Greg Sankey. Oh boy, wasn't he hot yesterday?
Yeah, and I don't think he's cooled down since, Shane. So yeah, this is technically I don't even know how to explain it, Shane. Day 2. It's really day 1, the spring meetings. For those that don't know, hell, I didn't know when I was there. But so Sankey kicks it off yesterday, and you're absolutely right. Man, he was cutting people off, asking questions. He doesn't want to be seen as this villain. I think everybody in the media hates him. I think all the people that are not SEC fans, I think they obviously hate him. But I still think he's doing a hell of a job, Shay. They may not let us in the building, but we're going to kiss his ass till we get in there. You know what? He's the best.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. Yeah, I think we were talking to Five Bob, and he was talking about books and stuff. Sankey, you know, sends out recommendations. I haven't got those texts yet, but I keep waiting for the Sankey book recommendations. So, hey, Free Dirt put on here. What's on the menu at Destin, Mike? So, I know you went. Did you go get you a fancy, another Korean meal yesterday?
Let me tell you, Shane, you thought I was mad I spent over $450 on Korean steakhouse.
Yeah.
I didn't pay a cent last night. I was even more upset. That's how bad it was. Many, many people, and even in the comments, I'm not blaming any of the cousins, Shane. I blame more of the locals because we asked every damn local we could. They said, you got to check out this Dewey Seafood. There was cockroaches all over the floor. It was the worst seafood. And hell, you can see I could throw a football, hit the ocean. You know, we're that close. I assume the seafood's got to be amazing. Not at old Dewey's. Do not go to Dewey's in Destin. It's garbage. You get better seafood in Nashville. So, yeah, that made me more upset. Your brother ordered literally, I want to say, 3 orders of crab. And he ate them all. He ate them slowly. It took him about, I'd say, 2 hours to eat all those crabs. Mm-hmm. At the end of it, he says, I hate crabs. Why did I order all these crabs? You know, like, he was that wasted at old Dewey. Dewey's got a lot of money off your brother last night.
I hate to hear that. Do you think it's kind of like a joke? The locals are like, hey, let's send them to that shitty restaurant, you know? Like they got this pack, you know, so they can keep the locals away from the real good spots or the, you know, the outsiders.
I didn't think of that till now, Shane. I think you're absolutely right. They absolutely destroyed us on that one. But we did go to I'm doing a lot of complaining. One was fantastic this morning, Shane. We went to the Donut Hole. You know how I feel about donuts.
Oh, so come on now.
A lot of the locals were saying to hit up the Donut Hole. We went there. We filled our hole with donuts. I mean, the Donut Hole should not be missed. It's better than anything we've eaten so far, aside from maybe the $1,000 Korean barbecue.
Cousin Glenn, member for 9 months. Thank you, cuz. Says, hey, buddy, Boomer Sooner, what beer is SEC Mike drinking?
This is something I didn't even know existed, but here we go. It's Jack Daniels and Coke Zero in the same bottle. So, you know, you save on the calories. That's important these days, Shane. And you get just as drunk.
somebody asked me online, they said, why is it Cousin Shane down there? And I said, my damn ankle monitor will not allow it. oh, man. But, hey, do you guys have so I know you're down there on the beach. You know, Commissioner Sankey, I mentioned him earlier, came out yesterday, pretty damn hot. Came out and said he's not even going to the ocean, Mike. He came out in a pullover, said, I ain't even got time. You know, are we getting some action down there or what?
I think literally I'm the only one, Shane, that is hitting the beach. All these other media boys they're in the conference rooms, which, again, I'm not allowed to go in. Yeah. But I am tiptoeing around that hotel, trying not to get tossed. It's very easy, Shane. You know, the way I've been dressing, I'm trying to look like a tourist because I am. I'm trying to look like I belong at the hotel. Maybe not with the SEC, but I belong in the vicinity. And I'm not really getting a lot of – I mean, I'm getting a lot of looks, but I don't think – no security is giving me looks outside of – man, it's like Fort Knox over there at the Paul Feinbaum setup.
Yeah.
They were not going to let me 100 feet within that man till – shout out his producer, Jamari. He saw me. He said, all right, that guy's cleared. So I got in some FaceTime with Paul, and hopefully we'll get on his show at some point while we're down here. But I don't even know if that's likely.
Hey, I wanted to put out here a couple cousins says Beauchamp's seafood is the real deal. Now, this is from Liquid Flames. He's down there in Florida, so he would definitely know. And this one here is Joshua Willis. If you want real seafood, eat at Stubby's. And
Stubby's,
then,
okay.
Yeah, and I want to give a shout out to Rex. Says Shane can't be within 100 yards of Sankey. Oh, and Free Durden wants to know if you're bent. How many have you had today? How many of them Jack and Cokes have you had?
Oh, no, this is my very first one because, again, I'm not even getting in the event.
Okay.
You can't be the hammered guy that is like, why can't I get in here? You know, it's like,
yeah.
They'll sit you real straight, but. Yeah, alcohol will be consumed now that I'm no longer over there in Destin, and I'll be back tomorrow as long as I behave myself. So, yeah, unfortunately, this is the first one I've had today.
Well, speaking of first one, we got our first cousin gift, and who else than Cousin JR gifted an SEC football podcast membership. Welcome to the family. Anybody got a name for me? This is my first time. Second time doing this. Anybody got a name for me here? I'll go down to the comments.
See somebody's typing. To the family. The memberships in this podcast are brought to you in part by Cousin JR.
Well, we're getting a lot of food recommendations. Oh, Robert Jenkins. Robert Jenkins, welcome
to
the family.
Yeah, thank you, JR. Thank you, Cousin Robert.
Absolutely. Thanks, Cuz. The legend. Ken is correct, brother. So,
you know, the only thing, Shane?
Yeah.
It just hit me. The whole time we're sitting here like, man, we wish Shane was down here. How much? And I'll tell you, buddy. So this is the first time I actually went to where we're staying next door, right?
Yes.
We're in the Common Man Hotel. I went to the Hilton Destin.
Yeah.
It's like, I would imagine if the president came to town, that's where he's staying. I mean, it is. There's literally, I told you there was a golf course. I was just telling you that. It's all over the resort is the golf course. And it looks like it's got to be the nicest course in Destin. It's immaculate over there. But the thing was, so here's where I was going before I started rambling. We've been missing you.
Yeah.
I don't think it would have been good for you to be there with me. Because like I said, I'm trying to tiptoe. I'm trying not to be noticed. But we would have been noticed every hallway, every, you know what I mean? Like we would have got our ass kicked out of there within 30 seconds.
It's true. It's true. I mean, 42 years on this earth, I don't think I've ever won hide and seek, you know? Somehow I keep getting caught, Mike. Oh, man. Well, I'm glad you're having a good time. I know cousin Brother Joe was flying Hawaiian, and I love the pictures. I hope we keep posting those. You know, you're having a little fun, but, Mike, you know, we're within 100 days of kickoff here. And, you know, some of these conversations, it's good seeing some of the coaches. I know some of them were talking. I saw Kirby was saying a few things. I saw Steve Sarkisian, maybe not down. He also said a few things. But it's nice. It feels like we're getting closer, you know. I know it's still within, 95 days or something crazy like that, but it still feels like we're getting closer, Mike.
Yeah, and it was pretty wild, Shade. Some of the people I ran into today, John Calipari, that was pretty cool. Jimmy Sexton, he was talking to a group of people, right? And I was just trying to think of, which coach is getting a raise because of this conversation that old Jimmy Sexton is having at SEC Media Days. Let's try to figure that out, Shade. He was talking to a group of – I don't know who any of the – he was talking to three other people. They're not as – not important here. But if Jimmy was getting a raise for somebody at SEC Media Days here on May 27th, which SEC coach was he getting a raise, do you think?
I don't know. I'm hoping Billy Napier. Just please tell me. Please tell me they're willing dealing Billy down there.
I got a hot one for you.
Yeah.
And they're all here, so it could be any of them, right? But
yeah,
I think it was Lane Kiffin. Because I think he's very tight with Lane.
Yeah.
You know, there was the Florida overtures. He said, no, hell no. I don't want to go to Florida. Of course, they still have a coach. But, I think Lane is in for a rough year.
Yeah.
Rough by his standard that he set there. Again, I'm not saying they're going to go 6-6 or anything crazy. But they're used to winning 9-10 games every year. I think if they go 8-5, or it should be 8-4, 7-5, I don't think that is completely unrealistic. Probably not going to happen, but if it does, this is when you get him the raise now. You get Lane Kiffin the raise before the season comes down.
Especially with anonymous coaches coming out saying Lane ain't shit. You know, it's like, you better get your money now. is that it? I mean, has Lane Kiffin changed? I know we talked about he's changed the standard for Ole Miss, but, you know, honestly, I think he's changed the coaching standard, the pedigree, if you will. It's no longer a stepping stone to another job, it feels like. Do you see a scenario, because he's always going to be on a short list, especially if he keeps having success down there in Oxford, but do you think that he's starting to reach the point where people just stop asking? They just assume Lane Kiffin's going to be down there for a long period of time?
No, I don't think that'll ever stop. You know what it reminds me, and this will make Ole Miss, I'm not trying to make Ole Miss fans sicker than I just did, but it reminds me of Dan Mullen.
Yeah.
Now, I think he's a better coach than Dan Mullen. I think Dan Mullen is, honestly, I think he's underrated. I realize why Florida changed coaches, but remember every year at, and again, Mississippi State and Ole Miss, right now, completely different universe, but Mississippi State was going through a historic run, just like Ole Miss is going through right now. And every year it was Michigan, it was Miami, it was this job, it was that job. And when one finally made that offer, and if it wasn't, Shane, I think you'll remember this, if Dan Mullen didn't leave for Florida, he was leaving for Tennessee.
Yeah.
So, again, I'm not sitting here saying Kiffin's dying to leave Oxford. It seems like every month that goes by, he's reaffirming his love to Oxford and Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. But you're asking me if I put any stock in that? Hell no, I don't. I think that's what he's playing the part, if you ask me.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. A lot of folks are curious. They said that he's got a house down there, so probably does. I mean, that man's got so much money, he's probably got a house everywhere. I mean, you know, he's got to be absolutely loaded. Are you surprised? I would imagine his outfits are doing more with the kids as well, you know, because that's like the next evolution of this thing is coaches are great, but now we're starting to see players make more than coaches. So Free Durden wanted to ask you a question. He says, what do y'all think about Georgia, Florida home and away games after 9-game conferences realignment? Do you think do that, or you think Jacksonville's just paying too much money?
No, I think Jacksonville's paying too much, but that's one of the major disadvantages of going to potentially going to a 9-game, because you know, if they're going to do it, which I assume they're going to do, it may not be this week, but I would think in the coming months they will pass that to go to nine games. We can get to that conversation in a minute, just based on everything that I'm hearing down here. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's going to cause some years where Georgia and Florida only have, you know, I guess it would be four home games in conference play.
Mm-hmm.
Like Texas that year may have five. Is that fair to Georgia? Is it fair to Florida? Well, again, not Texas is a bad example because they play Oklahoma on a neutral field. But literally everybody else, Tennessee, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, on and on and on. There's going to be years where they get five SEC home games.
Yeah.
And Georgia, Florida, Texas, Oklahoma, they'll have one fewer. So they're going to be at a little bit of a disadvantage if we go to a nine-game conference slate.
Yeah. I can't remember the exact numbers either. I did a little project. Remember a long time ago I did the Professor Shane, and I did talk about the origin story of the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. And one of the things that came up was the money. And I'm kind of skewing this because this was back in the day, but if I'm not mistaken, I think Georgia was making about $2 million for every home game or something along those lines.
Right.
But obviously they'd make none on away games, but collectively they were making $3 million in Jacksonville. So simple math, you're saying, okay, I could take two every other year. I could get 1.5 every year. And that's why, honestly, this is not going to change.
Oh, no, you missed this amazing comment from Cousin Tony. If anybody looks, there's a ship over Shane's head there. It's
it does kind of look. Oh, jeez.
No, I think it's way more than that, Shane, because
that was like pre-inflation, you know.
I think when they play in Jacksonville, I think each team gets like $7 million.
Yeah. Yeah.
So $14 million collectively, and they're going, so the stadium in Jacksonville is being renovated, right?
Yeah.
They're going to play one or two in Atlanta, and the Falcons are going to give them each, I think, $10 million.
Mm.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, all these coaches, I get it. They want all the home games. They've got to help recruiting, this, that, and the other. But are they going to turn down, $18 million?
Yeah.
No. They wouldn't do that in a second. You know what I mean? So, no, that game's not going anywhere.
Cuz asked, he said it's Sankey coming to get Shane.
He's out to get everybody else, it seems like, doesn't it?
Oh, true story. Well, you know, we had the bourbon bet, which I think we're officially retired since Coach Stoop sucks up there. And it's sad, but I really enjoy it. I love media days. I absolutely love seeing, you know, some of our old friends, and you know, it's just kind of good to catch up. But there's one in particular, Mike, in Lexington that I just cannot wait to see because he's usually bringing gifts. You know who I'm talking about?
Nick Roush?
That's right, Nick Roush. And he's paying up the last year, and he goes to hand me that bottle, and like 10 feet back is Greg Sankey. And I'm just like, no, don't do it. You know? And he quickly put it in the bag.
And that's why I can't get into spring meetings. Thanks, Shane.
I didn't drink it there, you know. Oh, Mike. Well, hey, man, we got some comments. You didn't come here just to hear Mike's beach stories. We got some comments coming to you. I want to start off here with Sankey talking a little bit about Bama and the playoffs. So we'll discuss at the end of this.
Challenges of teams 11-1, 12-0 being compared against teams with more losses. Were you surprised Alabama did not make the playoff last year?
I don't know that I'd say surprised. I think that's one of the realities. But I spoke in July of media days asking how will a 9-3 team, and I use Georgia as a really good example given their three really difficult road games, how do you evaluate that against other teams that don't come anywhere close to that? And as I said, we learned something the first time through, and that raises the need for deeper analysis and understanding. If we're going to just incentivize wins, playing fewer winning teams can get you to more wins. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's great for football. I mean, to Ralph's question.
So that's what Shane has been hammering home all offseason, right?
I've been saying.
I don't know what Indiana's record was because I don't really care. But you know, 11-1, whatever stupid record they had. Beating Purdue, beating Maryland, beating Rutgers. Again, I don't even know if they played those teams. But that's basically what their schedule was outside of getting beat by Ohio State, right? So,
yeah
I mean, there is – I think that is a totally legitimate question. You know, that the SEC may be, and again, I'm someone, Shane, I'm different than you. I'm not just SEC homer over here. I don't think Alabama deserved to get in. I don't think Ole Miss deserved to get in, but I can't argue with what Greg Sankey's saying right there.
Yeah, no. And that's what there's a couple of comments. This was a heated, I mean, this kind of calmed down, but this seemed to be the theme was, not, you know, the 9-game SEC schedule and the guarantee, I want to use that quote, playoff spots, college football playoffs, over and over this thing came up. But what Sankey's saying here, in my opinion, Mike, is he just wants the best teams. I don't think it was just SEC as he's talking here. He's like, I would prefer to see, and I'm subquoting here, 12 of the best teams in, and we keep saying that over and over again, but it feels like it, because I think there's a fine line between guaranteed, like a guaranteed spot in, and deserve, and you know, there in the Indiana crowd, there's a bunch of people that says, well, they deserve this because of how many wins they've got or how many losses they didn't get, you know, and I don't know, I think when you use that, guarantee and deserve is kind of the same thing. Nobody deserves anything. We deserve, as fans, the 12 best football teams in the college football playoffs. And I don't want a team that deserves to get in there. I want a team that should be there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. But, you know, that you hit on something very, very important there. I didn't realize this till I got down here, Shane, but, you know, there's this guaranteed 4 spots.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that meant, you know, because they're saying SEC and Big Ten guarantee 4 spots.
Right.
I thought that meant they could get 4, but they could also get 5, 6, you know, however many, you know, if there's 7 of the top 10 are from the SEC, all 7 get in.
Mm-hmm.
But according to Sankey, he's to say no. If it would be 4 guaranteed, and the SEC can't get a 5th,
yeah.
So why? I don't understand why the SEC would do that. Do you?
No, because there'll be years that you need the guarantees, I would imagine, but there'll be years that we don't, and we want the best in there. You know,
right? So, yeah. So I mean, that's just so confusing to me. Now, how about this? Because there is, and apparently the SEC is totally against this.
Yeah.
And I don't think this is all very confusing because the Big Ten commissioner, he's not saying anything. They just held these meetings in the Big Ten, Shane.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't even speak one time. Greg Sankey is speaking every single day. Yesterday was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Greg Sankey speaking all those days publicly. So I don't understand why the SEC is the only one that is speaking. But when we say the SEC, it's really the Big Ten and the SEC are kind of making these decisions. But I don't understand why those conferences are not with – there's a model out there, Shane, where people want 5 conference champions
mm-hmm.
to get into the playoff. Does that make sense? So SEC, yes. Big Ten, ACC – Big 12, and then the highest-ranked small conference. Those automatically get in, and then the last 11 spots would just go to the highest-ranked 11 teams. And mm-hmm. apparently the SEC and the Big Ten are against that. But that makes all the sense in the world to me.
It does make sense, but it's the 11, Mike, that I think when you have people making those decisions – and I am not trying to bring the BCS back, Mike, but I'm saying when you got 11 human beings in a room trying to discuss who gets in. I don't know how many people are in there. I just threw out 11. But you know what I'm saying? Like, who are the top 11? That's the problem I'm having, because it's almost like I keep saying the same word, guarantee, but it's like when you're there, if you come out in the first selection show, as long as you win out, you don't leave. And I think that's a terrible idea. You know, if you're watching a team, and let's say, yes, they keep finding a way to win, but you're watching another team that maybe stumbled out of the gates earlier this year, not even using SEC. Let's talk Ohio State. You know what I'm saying? You talk about a team that found itself late in the year. That's a team that should have been adjusted toward the end of the season based on how they're playing now going into a college football playoff. That's my concern. And I feel like that's what Sankey's saying here. It's almost like, again, deserve. These teams deserve a shot to get in there, but they're taken away from teams that actually could compete within that playoff.
Right. So, like, if we just keep using Indiana because that's a good – that's just a perfect example. But maybe they beat, like, a 3-0 Rutgers, and you're like,
yeah,
that's a hell of a win. But then Rutgers goes 3-9, and you're like, what the hell? That wasn't that good of a win. You know what I mean? While South Carolina – beats the shit out of everybody they played the last 6 weeks. You know, again, I don't understand why they didn't get in, but I see it both ways. You know what I mean?
Well, and that's what, you know, it feels like Sankey and company are just kind of dancing around it right now. They're telling you what they want, but ultimately it feels like they're not making the decision, but they're saying it. Maybe that's why Sankey's coming out here every day. Because somebody needs to spearhead this thing. And if it's got to be him, he'll do it. But at the end of the day, it's better for the viewership, because nobody wants to watch a Georgia-TCU game. You know what I'm saying? We got to see one of those already. But
seeing a lot in the comments, Shane, Google AI, Grok, maybe they can – AI, they can pick the teams. Thoughts on that?
Yeah. Well, it's coming, guys. We're not even really doing this show. Yeah. this is AI and the bit just not loading up here. But
how about Cousin Trevor? Is Shane in another realm or dimension, or have I had too much cornbread ham?
It could be. They just sent me a new shipment of canned drinks. I didn't even know that was a thing, but apparently get high in a can now. Well, hey, I guess back in the day, that's what they used to do. But, hey, let's talk – speaking of other portals, let's talk Kirby Smart here. He comes out, got a little bit to talk on the portal.
On the portal window timing, Coach Elko was just in here and he made the point, you know, he doesn't understand why anybody would want to look at a portal window after the spring rather than after the winter based on the professional models and what's worked. Where do you stand on that? What would be the argument to do it after spring instead of
the winter? Well, I'm so glad you asked. You know, I didn't get to talk to Elko. I was getting ready to talk to him. I did talk to Clark Lee. I think of this meeting, and I think everybody in this room is 8 or 9, SEC championship or not, settlement. The biggest decision that has to be made in college football right now, by far, is when is the portal window and is there 1 or 2? Okay, that's not being decided by us today. A lot of people don't even know how it's getting decided, who's deciding it. But I need you to think for a second. There is a strong contingent. We had an AFCA meeting. We had a meeting in which we unanimously decided that there really needed to be one portal window. Whatever that is what it is. And it needs to happen sometime in January. There is an outcry. There is schools. There's different conferences that feel like it should not fall during the play-in season. I would love that. I would love to be able to play the season without it. Is basketball able to do that? Or do they deal with the portal during their championship?
During the
tournament. Yeah. What do we deal with? During the final, let's call it maybe 4 teams. I don't know if I'm exactly right on that, but roughly we're down to 4. We deal with that. Okay, that's because of the academic calendar for us, where the academic calendar falls, and everybody doesn't have that incongruency. Oh, by the way, we had to deal with that multiple times. It's not fun. It's not fun. It's really hard to be playing in a championship setting and having to deal with that. But when I brought that up as a complaint or a problem, it was told to me, there's no crying from the eye. So if you're going to play in these environments, you have to be willing to do that. Now it's, we can't do that. And then I got told, well, we have a cap year. Cap year runs July 1 to June. If the portal is in January, we can't manage our cap. We can't do our cap. Well, that's an accounting method you got to take into account. some schools are trying to manage that and prepare for that. Why can't you just change when the cap year is? Because the settlement is going to determine the cap year. And it's going to be based on all the other sports within our sports programs, which is July 1 to the end of June. So I'm a big believer in what Coach Elko said. And I want to develop my team. I think it's really important in football to have your team at whatever date in January, whatever we decide that is. And then you work those guys out. You train those guys. You lift. You prepare. You do meetings. You do all this preparation. And then that's your team, right? Like, that's your team. And I'm great with the money they make. I'm great with them being able to go in the portal. And if you ask kids when they would like to be able to go in the portal, they're going to say in January so they can go get started where? At their new place. But there's a large contingency that's growing now trying to push an April portal, maybe May. They want to practice in June, have some practices in June. I want y'all to think about June for us. We have 10 days of high school camp in June. We believe in using those. Needless to say, I'm a proponent for a January, wherever it fits, window. There's people saying, well, we can't get our kids in academically. Well, they're getting mid-year high school players in that same academic window. It's happening everywhere. So I'm a big believer in that. And I think that's the decision that has to be made, at least from a standpoint of SEC and bigger picture, the country. Where is the portal window? And is there?
Hey, there he is.
Oh, no. Changed my camera here.
You hit the wrong portal. There he is.
You got me?
Yeah, gotcha. Oh, boy, Kirby had some. Look, I like this one. Paul put Mike making Shane grow up and kind of lead.
Me?
Yeah. Good God. Get with it, Mike. I hear you. Everybody hears you. Mm-mm. This kid. Sometimes I feel like I do it all. There he is. I'm going to waste 15 seconds airtime right here. Hey, while he's messing around with that, I want to show you guys something. So this golf ball, TaylorMade, I found this out in the woods looking for another ball of mine. Never found it, but it doesn't matter. The next day, I took it out there, and I shot a 97. First time ever broke 100, so I just wanted to say another ball retired. Can't really see it because, okay, there it is. Nice little ball. Honestly, I didn't use it too often after that because, I mean, it's got all these colors. It's tough to find. And if it's in the woods, no wonder the guy, whoever lost it. Thank you, whoever bought it. I think he put his initials on here. But he's famous now. He got a 97, and that was a big deal. Mike, are you on? Well, he's not. So, Paul, I think this is hilarious. Mike making Shane grow up and kind of lead these shows is like watching your kid grow up. I think that's a great comment. In fact, I've never asked since maybe the first year, I've never really asked my mom to watch a show, but I think I'm going to send her a text after this saying, hey, you really need to check this one out because it's probably the smoothest show that's ever been ran here. 97, is that good? No, it is ultimately not. 72 is what you want to get. And unfortunately, it's like, but it is good. I don't want to say it's not good. It's a milestone to break 100. And honestly, after I hit the 97, I got the 98. Feels like 98, good number, the next day. But then I messed up. I went to a golf pro. He's supposed to help me with my swing. And my grip was all over the place. If anybody's, I mean, that's like the number one comment in the videos. It's like, Shane, your grip is shit, yada, yada, yada. And I had no idea. I was like, I'm gripping it pretty good, I thought, you know. But what they meant is hand placement. And so he got me corrected. And I'm all over the place. So I'm not breaking 100 right now, Mike. But
can
you
hear me
now? Yes. Yes. Good to have you back.
Okay. Sorry about that. I don't know what the hell happened there. You know, technical difficulty. I think that was Sankey sabotage. No, Sankey's amazing. He would never do such a thing. But, you know, that was that clip, Shane. I know it was a little long, but I thought it was very, very, very important because I had never even thought of that. There's now all these coaches, every single one of them, Shane, whether it's in Destin or outside, I mean, their number one message, just like Kirby said right there, we got to get to one portal.
Yeah.
Now, they want it in December, January, whatever. I mean, I think that makes perfect sense. But what I had never considered until Kirby said it right there, you know, they're going to do, we've all talked about this salary cap, this house settlement, whatever the hell you want to call it. That's making it tricky because that's going to be every year July 1st, right?
Yes.
So that's when the salary cap starts. How do you do that when you're trying to build your roster in January, right? So Nico, for instance, he's a perfect example. He would have counted $2, $3 million against Tennessee's cap this year. Mm-hmm. He's obviously not even on the team. Yeah. So how in the hell can you start the cap in July? So, again, all this, you know, all these people saying Congress is going to help us, this court case is going to help us, all it's doing is introducing new problems. Every time they try to fix something, something else breaks.
Yeah. It's like those old videos, like Three Stooges. They're at a dam and a leak comes out and they plug their finger in it, you know, and then another one pops. It feels like what we're doing here, and it's kind of a mess. I get that, but it does feel like it's starting to funnel into some real decisions. And I'm kind of upset. I'm a little upset. I mean, it's just day one, but I'm a little upset about some of the way, like the way that Sankey talks, you know, it feels like, and I like Sankey. I love Sankey. I think he's a great guy. And
we love him.
Yeah, I think he's awesome. But again, there's nothing definitive here. It feels like we're keep, like I said the other day, kicking the can and moving it to this thing and moving it to that thing. And but it does feel a little bit like it's starting to have a unified voice, if you will. And I hope that it's more than just the SEC conference, because ultimately, again, this sport we love. We've all watched it since we can remember, and we don't want it tainted. And it feels like right now, if we continue this road, this sport's going to suck a little bit at times. And not much, you know, we still love the actual football games and stuff, but it's this noise in the offseason or losing your starting quarterback. You brought up Nico, losing your starting quarterback in the first portal in the spring after you've already allocated money, you know, that's a kick in the ass, you know, that's what that is. So I like Kirby coming out here saying this because, you know, he's the new voice, you know, he's kind of take over Nick Saban's job, if you will. And usually this is kind of getting that ball rolling. So we all agree one portal's the right way.
Well, that's why this is also interesting to me, Shane. Again, we love Greg Sankey. He's the greatest. He's the best. But all these people saying he's a villain, he's ruining sports. But at the same time, people are saying, well, God, there's no leadership. You know, action needs to be taken.
Yeah.
So the most powerful man in the sport is taking action and trying to correct these issues. And then all you get is a bunch of people saying, well, why the hell are you doing this? You're hurting Washington State. Oregon State will never be the same. You know, like, oh, my God. Like, again, do I want that to happen to those fans, those schools? No, because, you know, our whole lives, those have been not really that important. But they've been, like, been relevant, right?
Yeah.
But just the way the sport's going, they're not going to be relevant anymore. And that is unfortunate. But that's bound to happen.
Yeah, no, it is. And it's because we're competing with another conference. Let's just call it like it is. You know what I'm saying?
How about Cousin Ollie? The most powerful man in the sport is sharing the screen with you, Mike.
That's right, cuz.
Sorry, so Sankey's number two. I forgot.
Yeah, no. Yeah, Sankey's great. And I just, you know, you're going to get ridiculed, you know, and there were some dudes in there. If you listen to that whole Sankey deal, you know, that were kind of teeing him up, you know, they were looking for a headline in May is what they were doing. And it kind of sucks, but again, it's getting the noise out there.
Right. I recommend they boot those people. Let us slide in.
You know what? I kind of like being out here on the fringe anyway, Mike. You know, that's kind of like – that's how I like to play golf, you know? Screw the fairway. Who wants to be over there? Oh, jeez. But, Mike, let's – I got another one here for you. Sankey comes back, says, we need The NCAA?
I've shared with the decision-making working group. I have people in my room asking, why are we still in the NCAA? Now, the other side of that is we had 13 teams invited to the NCAA baseball tournament today. I've not been notified that anyone has declined the invitation. How do those whose frustration level is at its highest, how maybe are some of those frustrations mitigated? How are some of those frustrations dealt with? The process of change is really exciting at the start. It's like running a marathon, which I've done a few times. Every time I've ever run a marathon, you can't sleep the night before. You're up early. You're at the start line. The start of anything is really exciting. And you go through that, and then you get to the end, and you see, you know, running down Boylston and the Boston Marathon, or in Central Park in New York City, or crossing the river in Missoula, Montana to finish there. I mean, it's exciting, right? There's a finish line. The start and the finish is always invigorating, exciting, but the middle is messy, whether it's a marathon, whether it's decision making, whether it's change, and we are in the middle and it's messy. That's not unique to college sports. That's not unique to higher education. That's not unique to American society. And so, Ross, to go back to the fundamental question, I think we would like to see more authority and autonomy granted under the NCAA heading. We'd like to come together for championships. We think that's critical, important, broad part of college sports. I think there can be more independence in decision making.
So, after hearing that, is it true what he says about running marathons, that they're great at the start, but in the middle is when that's when it's really tough on you?
Well, I've only done one half marathon, Mike, and I'm going to tell you right now, I felt like the ending was a little more messy than the middle. Oh, as I'm crying and my legs are killing me. But I also thought, hey, it was kind of like our show, you know. We know when the start, we pretty much know when the finish, and sometimes it gets a little messy in the middle. But, you know, the messy is what's special because – again, we are changing, in essence, the landscape of college football, but it already was changing. I think now is more or less putting some guardrails up and trying to funnel this thing into a cleaner situation. And that's, I feel like that's what we're doing here. I hope that's what we're doing. And I know there's going to be some growing pains. And unfortunately, I felt like last year, the college football playoffs, say what you want, I bitched about it the entire time. It felt like some growing pains. Even Sankey talks about it. You know, Tennessee should have had a home game for the playoffs, right, but we didn't because they skewed the thing. So,
what did you? You know, we haven't even talked about this. We talked about it with Steven. I don't know if you caught it, but they have officially changed the seeding for the playoff for next year. So it's not going to be to where like Boise State and Arizona State, because they won their weak leagues, they automatically get a bye. So they have changed it. Have you seen that?
No, I did not.
I have a graphic. I may have removed it. I think I did, unfortunately. But had they done the seeding the way that they will moving forward, Tennessee would have hosted, Shane. Who's the playoff team you would have want to face the most? And because you're pretty confident Tennessee would have whooped their ass. Who's one that you're always making fun of?
Indiana,
come on, Dan. I think that's what it was. It was either Indiana or SMU. It was one of the two. But wouldn't that have been a hell of a lot more fun than Tennessee getting the shit kicked out of them by Ohio State?
And I don't hate Indiana. Great state, you know. Yeah. I used to go there when I was younger to drag race, and up there in Indianapolis, freaking awesome, man. I think I fell in love for the first time. There was a Winston cigarette girl. You know, there's like a group of them. So we had them old little cameras, you know what I'm saying? You wind up and stuff. My mom gave me one. And, you know, the guys, we went up there. Well, I didn't think anything about this camera once she published it.
Wait, can I guess? Can I guess, Shane? About how many photos does one of those hold? Do you remember, like, around 20?
Let's say 20. Yeah, let's say 20.
Over under Shane photos of that woman. I'm going to say over under 13.
And well, there's a crew of them, and it was over. I would say it was about 16. And then there was, I remember there was this huge chicken sandwich. So it was like the bun was like this, but the chicken was like flattened out, and it was like real big, you know. And I was in hog heaven, brother. I mean, this place was, it was the greatest thing ever watching the drag race. If you've never done it, you should do that at least once in your life. Go to a drag race.
Is there any chance those photos still exist, or did your mother throw them out probably?
She probably threw them out, yeah. I think we went to church all week that week, you know. A lot of forgiveness, my friend.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. That makes sense.
That may have been the last time I was able to go. I don't know. Oh gosh, man. Yeah, everybody said over 18.
Cousin Jet said 19.
Yeah, it was up there. I think I got a picture of the sandwich, and I did get a picture of the couple of the cars. And what's really crazy about those alcohol funny cars, if you've never been around one. Yep. So we go down there behind the scenes, and we're like, you know, I mean, they're just unreal. These pieces of machine, that's just unbelievable. And they go to crank one of these up. Well, all these old timers are backing up, you know, so us kids, we're right there beside this car, dude. As soon as that thing fired up, you cannot breathe. The air, it's just, that stuff gets in the air, you suffocating right there. Of course, they're all laughing. I probably took 3 years off my life, you know, in that joke, but it was an experience. And I don't go to them off. They got a one up here in Bristol. We should go do that once. That'd be a fun thing. Go watch them. I love NASCAR. Cracker Barrel's got the 400 coming up. I haven't got my gear yet, but I'm hoping that I get some gear from it. But we got to do some drag racing too, man.
Yeah, well, we're getting way sidetracked.
Oh, though. Yeah,
sorry. Have a couple more clips.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Back to work.
You know, you kind of wonder what would happen if other people would have had the chance to play our schedule last year, and that would only get tougher. I know if you played a full SEC 9-game schedule, I know from our end going into this season, we're playing 10 Power 4 games with Florida State and Wisconsin this year on top of the 8 games. So I know we haven't held back at this point on, you know, anything when it comes to playing a tough schedule non-conference wise. And so you would certainly have to look at those things as it applies if you played 9 regular season games.
So Shane, real quick, I want to shout out that clip came via the next round. That's a hell of a show down in I believe in Birmingham. But that was Kalen DeBoer, Shane, Alabama coach. I think a lot of people still don't know who the hell that man is after that disappointing first year. But what thoughts on what he had to say, Shane? I mean, hell, he's saying, God, Alabama. What a time to be alive, Shane, where the Alabama coach is making the excuse that our schedule's too hard, and
yeah,
if other people had to play our schedule, maybe they wouldn't have made the playoff. Could you ever imagine Nick Saban making these damn excuses?
No. You know, now Saban bitched a lot. Let's not act like he was above it. But no, it wasn't so much excuses on performance. It was maybe excuses about upcoming situations. You know, they need to fix this. They need to do that. But yeah, I need to move on. I need to move on from 24. It was tough, you know, watching my Vols lose. It was tough watching, you know, South Carolina not get in. It was tough watching Alabama not get in, Ole Miss not get in. You know, and it wasn't that I was so upset that they weren't there. I was upset who they thought should be there. And I feel like me and Sankey, my best friend Sankey, I feel like we're on the same boat here, and we can't say it enough. So, you know, if I got to spend an extra 5 minutes just to let you know Indiana should not have been in there, I will do that.
Hey, Shane, you know how I know your brother, who I paid for his trip down here, he's staying, he's helping the show.
Yeah.
You know how I know he doesn't even watch the show?
How's that?
He's texting me right now. Hey, who's that hot guy in the blue shirt up there on the deck? Like, he didn't even care we're doing a show. He's trying to distract me. You know what?
No, I love it. He posted earlier. It's the only way he can get on the show. And it was the first comment I've seen from him this year. So, you know, gotta love him. Gotta love him, man. I've got one final clip here, Mike. And this one was not so much Media Day related, but, you know, if you'll recall, a couple weeks ago, news broke about Texas having $40 million to spend on their team, and Sark, he was not happy.
It was a little bit of irresponsible reporting, right? It was one anonymous source said that that's what our roster was. I wish I had $40 million on our roster. We'd probably be a little bit better team than we are. But you know, the idea to think that a lot of other schools aren't spending money to get players. I mean, it's the state of college football right now. It is what it is. And hey, we're fortunate. Don't get me wrong. We've got great support. Chris Del Conte, our athletic director, does a fantastic job, and on our donors, and hey, people are excited, and we've been to the CFP 2 years in a row, and we've had, 20 something guys drafted the last 2 years. So it's been great. It's been a great run. I wish I had about another $15 million or so, though. Right. I might have a little better roster, but so
it's, yeah, two it's or three exciting. Fullbacks for $15 million.
What's crazy about this day and age that you guys operate in, and I've watched this for 25 years now, this whole, like, the evolution of Twitter and social media and podcast, one guy writes an article from an anonymous source that says that's what our roster is. Mm-hmm. Everybody ran with it. And I'm talking real publications ran with it. And it was like, that's what's going on at Texas. Nobody asked me one question. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, sure. But if that's what you think, that's fine. If that's the narrative you want to paint for our team, that's fine. Whatever.
And this came via SXM College. So if you want to see the full video there, but I just thought, you know, he comes out, he says, it was a little bit of irresponsible reporting. I wish I had $40 million on our roster. We'd probably be a better team than we are. I wish I had another $15 million or so. What do you think, Mike?
Shade, I think, you know, we didn't catch the whole interview there, but poor job by the interviewer, whoever it was. I'm sure they're fantastic at their job. But he said, well, hey, no one asked me, right? He should have, right there you ask, well, what is the NIL budget?
Yeah.
And if he doesn't tell you, then you say, well, what the hell? You just said that ain't the budget. No one asked. Right there, you put them on the spot. I'm surprised they didn't do that, but I don't know. I mean, hell, I have no information on it, but I would think that's, you know, Bobby Burton, our guy Bobby. I may get an interview on him, with him here tomorrow. He said it was around $30 million last year.
Yeah.
So I mean, and now they got an extra 25 with this salary or $20 million salary cap. I don't know, man. I think that's about. If I had to guess, I'd say it's closer to $40 million than it is $30 million.
Yeah.
Because I we've said it on this show, there's another school in the SEC that is apparently spending around that much, if not more, and that's LSU.
I think it's funny. Hookham says it's actually 39. Well, what I think it's funny is, like, okay, let's just say, using his math, he said 15. He wished he had 15 more, so that would put him at, what, 25? So he said, let's say $25 million for this roster.
Yeah,
which is still a lot of money. How much do you think Arch is making by himself? Because that's not going to be counted in this NIL budget. He's doing his own spiel. But do you think that it's closer to $10 million at least?
I think it's a little less than that. I think it's a. If I mean, I really don't know, but I'd say it's around $8 million.
Yeah, I'm seeing quite a bit of ads with old Arch in it. So I was, let's just say it was eight. So then you calculate that in, which we're not counting, and then all of a sudden you're at $33 million. So yeah, those poor Longhorns, I don't know how they're doing. I don't know how they're getting by, Mike. Oh man, they're eating I'm sorry.
Here's the number one thing people are talking about. Just so people get it, because we're all hoping there's an 8 or 9 game decision, right?
Yeah,
nearly everybody down here is saying they're not going to make a decision until they know how the playoff is going to be structured.
Yeah.
And I think they we all assume it's going to 16. I think that's – I don't see there's any way because of the money and everything. I don't think there's any way it doesn't get expanded. So, and they're probably not going to do 14, so let's just assume 16. But how are they going to get those 16? Until they figure that out, I don't think the SEC is going to go to 9 games, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and it's sad. It really is. When will we find out about the college football playoffs? When is that meeting going to happen?
I think June or July.
So
we won't have to wait long.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll know it. I just wish they'd hurry up and do it. You know.
Let's see. It's so backwards. Just come on. You know. Does it not? Somebody in the meeting said, "Hey, why don't we do this first before we get all these guys together?" But the
SEC doesn't control all the playoff. You know what I mean?
No, I get that, but they should have. I mean, you just said Big Ten's already talked, so SEC's already talked. So
right.
Yeah.
Well, the Big Ten's already at 9.
Yeah. Well, they suck anyway. It is what it is. I haven't seen any Buckeyes in here today, so I could say that. So,
someone said they had the Big Ten meetings, and there was one. I don't know if it's true, but I heard there was one reporter at the Big Ten meetings.
Yeah, because why would you want to go? You know,
and here there's probably 100.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Media days is unreal, and I thought it was awesome last year. But I think that it was a little skewed because it was all the way down in Texas. I feel like when we get a little bit closer to Atlanta, that place is going to be absolutely jumping, and the buzz will be on the floor. I think every day I was looking at the coach breakdowns again, it's going to be action start to finish. So I think you're still going to get some news down there. Seiki's going to talk in a little bit, so we'll be sure to get those clips. But Mike, we're closing up on 60 minutes. Is there any final words you'd like to say to the cuzzos out there?
Well, I'm sorry I missed. Lane Kiffin apparently spoke.
Yeah,
I'm not 100% sure what he said, but I wonder if it was. He usually uses these opportunities to say something yeah. of interest. All right, here we go. I just quickly looked it up. Lane Kiffin, the best system would be 16. He's talking about college football playoff. Mm-hmm. And it would be the best 16. So Lane Kiffin wants like 1 through 16 to make the college football playoff. Interestingly, that would have made it to where he would have been in it last year. Yeah. Thoughts on 1 through 16, like Lane Kiffin wants.
You know, I think it doesn't matter. You could tell me 12, you could tell me 16, you could tell me 4. If I felt like the best 4 were in there, I'm cool with that. But if you're just throwing more teams in there just so that we can give the I deserve to be in teams in, then that goes back to what we started the show off with. I don't need that. I don't need that in my life. I don't want wasted games, possible injuries, shit like that. Let's get, you know, whether it be 12, whether it be 16 of the best teams in there, let's let them duke it out, and then we can crown ultimately – who we think is the national champion.
All right, and then one other question for you.
Yeah.
So they've got some kind of like exclusive dinner, drinks. It's the presidents.
Yeah.
It's the coaches. I think media, but probably credentialed media, are allowed to go, and it's like they close off the pool area of the Hilton.
Yeah.
Should I try to sneak in there?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Why wouldn't you? You well, can get
they,
away with
they
it.
May kick, they may kick us out of media days.
No, don't do it. Don't do it. No, ain't worth it. Ain't worth it. You know, you mentioned Lane Kiffin. I'm surprised we've not talked. Can you see this?
Oh yeah. I can see it.
Look at those lovebirds back at it. Soulmates. Did he fire that tweet off or did what's his name? Oh, what's his name? Bill's girlfriend, did he fire that one?
Oh, Jordan?
Yeah. Oh, soulmates. Oh, it's so sweet. It's so good, man. You know, college football brings everybody back together. So
he does. It does.
I can't wait to see you, my friend, and be sure to get some more pictures of wonderful, delicious seafood down there in Destin. I hope you find it. You're probably not going to, but I appreciate all the cousins hanging out with us. The thumbs up really does help us out. Have those notifications on, because if something crazy pops off, you know, whether Mike's drunk or not, we'll be on here to talk about it. And we look forward to seeing everybody tomorrow. So anything else for you, Mike?
No, I'm just going to I'll be trying to be on my best behavior. I'm going to try to get some good work done down here. No promises. We miss you, buddy, and appreciate each and every one of you for hanging out. Sorry for the technical difficulties, but we'll catch you on the next one.
All right, see you guys. Go ball.
Hey, buddy.